You're 91. Are you the only surviving?
Yes.
Of your sister's brother?
Mm-hmm. You had the three sisters that grandma was their aunt. Mm-hmm. Three older sisters. They were teenagers when you were born.
Yeah.
And then grandma had nine children and only two survived to adulthood. And that's you and Uncle Mike.
Me and my brother, Mike.
You said that your dad went to Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
There's a connection here because Jim Thorpe. He also went to Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
there was a special school out there?
Oh, he was much younger. Of course, my dad was pretty old. When he started school up around Carlisle, they picked up young men and women and took them to Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Was that known as an Indian school? Or is it?
Yeah, it was an industrial school.
Yeah, industrial.
And they were displacing our Indian young people there to further their education. It's all part of the assimilation plan, actually.
But in the long run, was that a good thing for them to go there and learn? They went there to learn a trade, was that?
Mm-hmm. Right. They learned to cook. The women folks learned to cook and sew. The men folks, I guess, learned the farming, which is good because they can raise their own vegetables, and, you know, things like my dad did. Oh, hey, it
was. Was that a government school in Carlisle, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
So that was the United States government way then.
Right.
Now that we have brought the tribes, we need to teach them.
Right. It was one of the original, what you might call boarding schools, but it was more for the older person. My grandfather played football there for Pop Warner. That is the connection, because that's where Jim Thorpe also played later on. My grandfather, Lewis McDonald, was a very scholarly man. He was evidently very smart. He had beautiful penmanship. He was an artist. He could do portraits and things.
I didn't save any of his letters. He had the most beautiful hand. Oh, my gosh.
And he eventually became an interpreter for our tribe when the tribal leaders would go to Washington, D.C. So he was an interpreter, too. And yet he was very traditional because we had a ceremony called Sundance. And he was in that very last Sundance before the government said, you can never do this again because of the way we do it.
Made him quit.
Okay, I got to go there. Why did the government make your people stop doing Sundance?
Well, it's because they considered the way we do things self-mutilation. And it's because we pierce ourselves in our chest and our arms and our legs and our back, depending on what we're going to do. Like if we were going to drag 10 or 12 buffalo skulls that are hooked to lines, you cut your back muscle in strips like this, stick a rock that looks kind of like a bone, you hook those ropes to that, and you pull it around a large circle at least four times. The last time you go, then those are going to break. Your skin's going to break. The skulls are left there, and you can leave.
Did it have meaning?
It's all about sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
We were praying for someone, for something. It's a very highly religious ceremony. Only the strongest people can go through this. And you're in the sun, and you don't drink water for 4 days. And you sleep outside. We still do this. We go to Nebraska to experience this, and it's like stepping back in time 200 years. I feel like we're doing what my grandfather did.
Can you go 4 days without water?
Or food. No food either.
Yeah, food or water.
No, ma'am, I can't.
That's what they did.
And then their bodies would be weakened by that.
Well, you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. No.
It allows the spirit to enter us, and
they
we're stronger.
They dance like this.
And so you say that a spirit...
You're just filled with spirit. Just like if you're in church.
You get the emotion of it all. You get into it.
Yeah, you're focused on whatever you're praying about, whatever your sacrifice is, whether it be for someone to be healed because they have some deadly disease, terminal illness.
Men folks to be dancing like all of a sudden somebody's going to pow on the ground. Yeah.
You go to another level of consciousness.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to say
it
right there.
Right. So you can't do this in Oklahoma, but you go to Nebraska.
Right.
We should also say here that you have two Ponca tribes. One is in Nebraska and one is in Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah, they're called Northern Poncas.
The Poncas have always been peaceful amongst themselves, Nebraska or Oklahoma.
Right. The enemy of the Poncas was the Sioux.
Okay.
And so that's who we fought.
Boy, did we fight them.
And the only reason there's two Ponca tribes right now, well, there's a Ponca tribe and a Ponca nation. is when they made the removal, there was a chief standing bear that was a part of our party that was moved to Oklahoma. His son died. He wanted to bury his son back at Niobrara, so he went back with a part of his family. His group, that's the other Ponca group today, those descendants that left with him at that time.
They're called Northern Poncas.
And as I understand, the United States government didn't uphold their treaty obligations to the Ponca, and instead they gave their land to the Sioux in 1868. Then they relocated the Poncas to Indian Territory in 1877.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because the Poncas didn't get the land they felt was coming to them, that was the contention, the fight between the Sioux and the Poncas. Is that be right?
Well, I think they've always been our hereditary enemies.
Okay.
But that was kind of like the last straw.
Did you make reference, the son of Standing Bear, it was a Ponca chief, he died, and Standing Bear returned to Nebraska.
To bury his son.
Mm-hmm. And then he was arrested for leaving Indian Territory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the case, which is known as Standing Bear versus Crook in 1879, established habeas corpus for Indian people.
The trial of Standing Bear, where he gave a very eloquent speech that we were human beings. He said, am I not a man like you? Don't I bleed like you? Don't I have feelings like you? That established us as human beings. We weren't considered anything prior to that.
What were you considered?
I have no idea, but we weren't considered
animals.
Human beings. Yeah, we were among the animals.
You were considered among the animals by whom?
By the white society, federal
Army.
federal government.
So then it was in that trial, Standing Bear versus Crook, that's when you were established
as human beings with rights.
With rights, yeah. Then White Eagle settled on this 101,000-acre reservation, which would become Kay and Noble counties.
Yes.